Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Liberty Mutual.
Deborah Rodriguez, we begin in the South, where dozens of reported tornadoes have wrought devastation and death. At least seven people have been killed, including a six-year-old boy who was riding in the car with his mother. Correspondent Omar Villafranca reports from Marbury, Alabama.
Oh, my God.
Shock and fear as a funnel cloud roars into sight. One of 35 reported tornadoes to strike the South Thursday.
Oh, my God, this is the building beside us.
I can't describe, is it that?
Montreal Cave's uncle and at least five others were killed when a reported tornado destroyed roughly 40 homes, shearing off roofs and shredding walls.
I'll go die.
Have mercy.
Officials say the same tornado also ripped through Selma, Alabama.
Tens of thousands of people have no power. The storms were part of the same system that slammed California. CBS's Jared Hill says the death toll there continues to rise.
In Northern California, a woman's body found in a submerged car. Near the town of Spreckles, south of San Francisco, the Salinas River could crest at 25 feet by this morning. It was at 6 feet just a week ago.
2 days after she gave her blessing to 2022's movie Elvis at the Golden Globe Awards,
it was mind-blowing.
Lisa Marie Presley is gone. Her family says Elvis' only daughter suffered cardiac arrest before she was rushed to a hospital where she died. CBS's Steve Futterman is in L.A.
Lisa Marie Presley was born during the peak of her father's career. She was in the international spotlight pretty much her entire life. She was just 9 years old when Elvis Presley died. She recalled the night before he died, giving him a kiss goodnight. She would never see him alive again.
Lisa Marie Presley was 54. President Biden is facing a special counsel investigation into two separate batches of documents marked classified, found in an office in Washington and in his home in Wilmington, Delaware. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson says there is a difference from the Trump documents case.
Mar-a-Lago documents, there was a high quantity of documents, over 100 classified documents that were found, and also that there had been representations that there were no such documents, that everything had been turned over.
California hospitals report a spike in pot-related visits by seniors. Here's CBS's Stacy Lynn.
The study from UC San Diego showed a more than 1,800% increase in those 65 and up going to the ER because of marijuana. Some of the patients ended up there thinking they were having a stroke or early signs of dementia. Others suffered nasty falls after getting stoned.
S&P futures down 36. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
4 Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The TikTok social media app is now banned on Wisconsin state government computers, cell phones, and other devices. Officials are concerned TikTok's Chinese owners can track American users and get a hold of their data. Governor Evers says he made the decision after talking with the FBI, Homeland Security, and cybersecurity experts. Too much winter road salt is bad for drinking water as well as lakes, rivers, and streams. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The group Wisconsin Saltwise says 1 teaspoon of salt can make 5 gallons of water toxic for freshwater fish and other organisms. Wisconsin Salt Awareness Week is the 23rd through the 27th. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Thank you.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I wasn't reminded of Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Shah 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
All right, man. It's Friday, man. We made it.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Through all the hardship
of
this week.
I'm looking at this guy across from me when I say we finally made it. It's Friday. It's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, well, you look bewildered when I said we made it.
I'm not sure what we made it to, but we made it past Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Well, I mean, it means a few days off.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
For those of us in the salt mines. It's the salt mine.
Salt. That's what Soledar is, I think. It's the in Ukraine, I think they're fighting over a salt mine right now.
So, yeah, that's part of, and it looks like one of the places that they're losing in. Supposedly, Russia's doing pretty good. We got to talk a lot about, it's a lot of stuff going on there, and it's just not getting any better. But before we go anywhere, I got an announcement I want to make, so we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations and doing something big to celebrate. It's the $1 million advertising giveaway. This is your chance to work with our Civic Media sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business For free, up to about $5,000, you'll be able to get that for free. Save the application date. It's Thursday, January 26th. Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be part of the conversation happening there. Full details at civicmedia.us/million. And be sure to let everyone know you heard about this on the Earl Ingram Show. The radio station is going to be giving away $1 million worth of free advertising, and that's what you should be aware of, and let others know. The only thing that you need to do in order to qualify for this is to, you know, on Thursday, January 26th, you need to go to the Civic Media website and fill out the application. So, I'm confused now. I've never done a live commercial reading on the air, and I don't know if I...
What happens next?
I think I butchered it. Huh?
Oh. No, you did just fine.
No, well, January 26th, Thursday, January 26th at 9 a.m. is the application date, so that's the only time you can fill out the applications. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and be part of the conversation happening there. That's where you get all the information, and you'll hear this continue throughout now all the way through to 26 on all of the radio stations that encompass Civic Media. All right. Where did there's something here, Sandy, that that threw me off. While I'm trying to get refocused, Sandy, talk about something.
Just talk, eh?
Yeah. I don't know, well, man. It just short-circuited me.
Everything went.
Yeah. And well, I'm trying to...
There used to be a guy on the radio named Arthur Godfrey.
I remember Arthur Godfrey.
Arthur Godfrey was... And the best thing he did was advertisements for all of his commercials. There was a time on both radio and TV where the commercials were done by the host.
Right.
And he just did... And Godfrey was on because he was really good at doing commercials. That was about all he was good at.
Sandy, you brought up a man named Arthur Godfrey.
I know, no one.
And I may be the only other person in the world.
I know.
Well, who remembers Arthur Godfrey.
This show doesn't have to be interesting all of the time.
But I mean, the fact that I remember Arthur Godfrey.
Yeah, he had a show. It was Arthur Godfrey and all the little Godfreys.
Yeah.
And he had all these other people. It was a variety show. It was pretty boring. And he'd go to Hawaii once a year and do the show from Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, I want to. As I'll probably remember and bring everything back together after the break, so it's going to be a struggle until then. I don't know why, but it will be. But you know, Sandy, I here in Waukesha, I guess they do a jamboree, and I was watching it on the news today, and I think it lasts what kind of 10 days.
10 days
or longer, ice sculpting, all sorts of things.
Yeah, I'm not sure this.
And
year.
What they did was just to cover themselves in case they wound up with conditions like they are now. The last snow that they had, they gathered it up and stored it somewhere so they can bring that snow out and use it for snow sculpting, ice sculpting. But I was watching it on television. It just seemed weird to me that you gather up snow, but I guess...
Well, in fact, I was just read about it. I think they've got some ski championships, the European ski championships in Switzerland, and it's way too warm, and so they're bringing snow down from the top of the mountain. They're transporting it around to try and make sure that they've got some snow for...
So this lack of snow is happening not just...
Well, glaciers... The glaciers are melting everywhere, and the effect of that apparently at level, it's at, up in the mountains where the glaciers actually mattered in Europe, it's having an effect. Yeah.
Well, the Arctic's cold can't get free. It's locked in some. It's locked up where it normally is, and it can't get out. You know what they're really talking about when they say that?
That what's locked up?
The Arctic air is locked up.
Oh,
and it can't get free.
Oh, my.
And they're saying that's the reason that we're having this. You don't know.
Sounds like a conspiracy theory. No. I think it's El Nino. There are these weather patterns. And it's happened before where the polar
vortex
moves north and south. And when it moves way north, we end up with this warm weather. It's sort of like if you picture the polar weather system as a toupee and the toupee is sitting on the Earth's head,
right?
It will slide from one side to the other. So if it goes north in North America, it'll slide down in the south. On the other side of the Earth, in the Eastern Hemisphere.
That's an analogy that only a Harvard graduate would give.
Yes, yeah. a sliding toupee. Well, it's something you can picture.
Yeah. So let me. They are really having a tough time in California. You know, with the continued rain. You sometimes wonder, and I think we touched on this a little bit before. It's nice to live in those kind of places. But, man, if every now and then the Mother Nature really deals out a blow, right? Well, California didn't have a lot of water.
California has more than its share of problems with Mother Nature. It's got earthquakes,
right,
and it's got landslides. I think it has to do with sort of a desert climate that's subject to periodic rains, and the soil is not firm like it is here.
Right.
So hillsides and whatever, when they get saturated, they slide down.
Well, these are torrential rains, and I think this past year they had these prolonged droughts. So it's either feast or famine, right? I mean, that's the part of it when you live in areas like that. But right now,
there's a price to be paid to live in a heavenly climate, apparently.
Yeah. So you and I, apparently, we're not looking for a heavenly.
No, I mean, actually, Wisconsin and the upper Midwest is sort of uniquely free of most of the major kinds of weather disasters.
Yeah, it is.
We don't have, Wisconsin itself is not subject to major flooding.
Hurricanes.
We have tornadoes, but tornadoes are local events, they don't have a broad systemic effect like a hurricane does. You know, hurricanes are the insurance company's nightmare because they happen in a broad geographic area with broad damage. Tornadoes are pretty easy to insure against because when they have their effect, it's more like a fire in a house than it is like a massive disruption.
Yeah, just thinking about these disasters that people have to deal with, and the fact that there's no insurance, right? I mean, all of those, that flooding, majority of it, only a handful of people, those who are really wealthy, can afford the insurance, the cost of insurance, right? I mean, because this happens again and again and again.
Yeah. Well, insurance gets more and more expensive. It's like flood insurance in places subject to flooding is like essentially not available.
Right.
The government had to step in and provide it. And, this whole analysis of flooding, it's kind of in a minor way, it's what's happened to health insurance. Not enough people have health insurance, so the people who are getting health insurance are the people who are most likely to get sick. And that makes it more expensive.
We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. What's going on?
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Doctor, Thursdays at 11:30. We are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy today with a high of 31. Northerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around a 19. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 35. Temps well above average Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. Chance for scattered showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, Springfield, Illinois passed a historic assault weapons ban earlier this week, and it was a full-out political campaign involving some of the biggest players in Chicago business. Politics and political consulting. Turns out the business community invested a lot of money.
In favor of the ban.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain to me why the business community would see that as.
Well, I think, I think the gun rights movement is not a business-based movement other than the gun manufacturers.
Right.
These kind of local. Restrictions on arms will be, I'm sure it'll be brought to the attention of the courts and the national, the NRA will litigate whether it's a permissible restriction. But, localities are entitled to restrict firearms. You can restrict firearms in certain places so that localities can decide that firearms aren't allowed in churches or various kinds of places, and those things have been subject to litigation as to whether they're valid restrictions on this constitutional right to bear arms that everyone seems so fired up about. The sorry thing is that Illinois is a state that has more restrictions on firearms than many states do, and it's proof that the gun problem goes beyond legislation and problems because, obviously Chicago has to have a great deal of
right.
problems with firearms and crimes. And the NRA loves to point that out. The people who are against gun restrictions point at Illinois and say there's lots of gun restrictions in Chicago. What good is it doing? It's an odd sort of a defense because it's basically an admission that guns are a big problem. And they're just saying, well, you can't do anything about it using laws, but maybe you could do something about it if you could get rid of guns. That would be an interesting.
But they're not. But then they're talking about assault weapons.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're not restricting people's rights to have. It's just this particular assault weapons.
Particular assault weapons, and there was a national for a while. There were national restrictions on it in the Clinton period.
Right.
So, you know, it, I, you know, and I think Biden, they're talking about trying to do it again on a national basis. You know, what possible reason can Tom, Dick, and Mary have for having an AR-15 stashed in the trunk of their car or whatever you'd, wherever you would have your AR-15? And I think the belief is that the Supreme, it would pass muster to have restrictions on certain kinds of weapons. I think the AR-15, I think the public safety issues associated with it would be sufficient to say, look, we're not restricting the ability of people, you know, because, for instance, the restriction on machine guns has been in place for a long time.
Yeah, that's a great point. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are restrictions on the types of weapons you can have that are valid. The question is, where do you draw the line? And, you know, I think that those who are worried about mass killings, for instance, that are facilitated by something like an AR-15, believe that the line should be drawn, certainly with weapons like AR-15s
rifles. The point that you brought up in Chicago with all the continued murders, they aren't, for the most part, they aren't with the AR-15.
No.
And they're, you know.
No, and in fact, we had the fellow on the radio that time. Was talking about the, and he was a supporter of, he was the one who was providing protective vests to police.
Right.
And then I asked him
Michael Letts.
Yeah, and then I asked him about whether, what his feeling was about guns, and he clearly was a very gung-ho, guns rights rights guy. And he would began to go in the direction of saying, well, the criminal element is starting to use AR-15s. And, you know, that criminal element does not include the kind of killings that are done by guns in the city of Milwaukee or in the city of Chicago. Those are all pistols. And the criminal element that's using AR-15s tends to be something that looks much more like domestic terrorists or crazed individuals out to commit mass murders. So it's hard to think that we should be worrying about that criminal element in the way we decide to allow people to bear arms.
So do you, in order for something like that to occur, you know that the lobbyists are certainly going to be pushing back. It's a lot of money engaged and involved in trying to prevent people from purchasing those weapons. This may be something that won't stand for very long, clearly. It's not going to stand without a fight, right?
Yeah, there'll be a legal fight. And, you know, this all happened sort of under my radar. I had no idea that AR-15s had become such a predominant weapon in terms of the sales and profits that are generated by those who make guns. But, you know, in the last quarter century, 20 million assault rifles have been acquired by private individuals. These are expensive guns.
Right.
And 20 million guns is more than the rifle industry, the assault rifle industry, was selling to the United States government. So it's clearly
a problem.
It's clearly a big business model. Is if you make assault rifles, part of your business model is to sell it to the public.
You know, Sandy, and if the assault rifles hadn't been used in the slaughter of people, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, you know, multiple people.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be, you know, the issue that it is now, but the fact that people have used them to slaughter.
Well, what use is there for a gun that has a clip that'll fire 100 rounds a minute in a long rifle?
Gotta go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. At least 7 people are dead after dozens of reported tornadoes ripped through parts of the South, shredding homes, trees, and cars. Ray Hall was in the clubhouse at a Selma, Alabama country club.
I could hear my ears popping. You could hear the roar. Glass going everywhere. You could hear the roof literally being torn off right over our heads. It was scary. I've never, I hope I never have to do that again. It was awful.
Bette Midler and John Travolta among celebrities paying tribute to the late Lisa Marie Presley. Elvis' only daughter died after suffering cardiac arrest. Family friend Sandro Menetti looks back.
It's one of high-profile marriages, heartbreaking divorces, family drama. Really, what a script.
President Biden says he will fully cooperate with the new special counsel's probe into documents marked classified that were found at both an office he used and at his home in Wilmington, Delaware. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The TikTok social media app is now banned on Wisconsin state government computers, cell phones, and other devices. Officials are concerned TikTok's Chinese owners can track American users and get a hold of their data. Governor Evers says he made the decision after talking with the FBI, Homeland Security, and cybersecurity experts. Too much winter road salt is bad for drinking water as well as lakes, rivers, and streams. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The group Wisconsin Saltwise says one teaspoon of salt can make 5 gallons of water toxic for freshwater fish and other organisms. Wisconsin Salt Awareness Week is the 23rd through the 27th. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Express yourself. Express yourself.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always,
you don't know.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. Fridays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, Paul Ryan has all of a sudden resurfaced.
A name from the past. He's, he keeps popping back into the news. Initially, I thought he was really just trying to sober up the Republican Party and doing a public duty of trying to be the honest broker to try and persuade the Republican Party that they ought to move away from Trump. But lately, his appearances have become more numerous. He's doing this commentary on Fox News, which seems to be a way that people want to keep themselves in the public eye. So, you know, maybe Paul has a vision of of returning to the public eye by running for office.
Well, yesterday he was on CNN of all places. So he's certainly visible. He said when he walked away from this that he wanted to spend more time with his family. Maybe he's done that and said, oh, wait a minute, maybe spending more time.
Yeah, maybe it's like Tom Brady. Oops.
Yeah, and maybe spending more time with the family. You know, how does one who's been in the spotlight as much as Paul Ryan, and still a young man, still a relatively young man, is on the national stage, and you know, and then you just wind up just being a father, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, I'm sure that, yeah. I mean, it's much like being a professional football player, being in the public eye, getting all sorts of attention, getting all sorts of privileges, being famous is probably a hard thing to drop and to walk away from. And Ryan, Speaker of the House, ran for vice president. Right. He obviously was near the summit. He's always been a person of ambition. He's always been a bit of an ideologue. You know, he's got a vision for conservative politics. He's a bit of a policy wonk. He was the tax, kind of supposedly a tax expert when he was a congressman.
Right.
And so, yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised that he would resurface. My only view is that his part of the Republican Party has sort of disappeared. It sort of shrank to nothing during the Trump period. And he might well be testing the water to see if it can be resurrected. You know, he's a different and more reasonable person, I think, than Pence. And I think his view is that, well, okay, if people are looking for a respectable alternative to Donald Trump, I can be a better respectable alternative than Pence.
I kind of think he's probably been recruited by the Republican Party to come back and maybe,
I guess. My sense is the party, neither party, but particularly the Republican Party, doesn't have the kind of organization that goes out and recruits national figures. He might well have been approached by people who he views as being important, but, the people who have more importance in terms of being able to consult with someone like Paul Ryan are the people who are taking polls, not because the Republican Party can't provide anyone with any sort of promise that they'll get the nomination, certainly not after the Trump situation, where the Republican Party was trying to stand in the way of Donald Trump getting nominated.
So here's what he had to say on Thursday. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan said on Thursday that former President Trump is a proven loser after a string of Republican election losses in recent years. He's fading fast, Ryan told CNN's Jake Tapper on Thursday. He's a proven loser. He cost us the House in 18. He cost us the White House in 20. He cost us the Senate again and again. This is pretty powerful indictment,
yeah,
of Donald Trump. Ryan said he does not believe Trump will get the party nomination as Republicans begin to focus more on issues like fiscal responsibility and less on personalities. Now, to be fair, Donald Trump has, attacked Paul Ryan over the last few years many times. And Ryan has been pretty silent on it. But the fact that he would come out now and kind of get in the way of this and get involved in this conversation is what leads me to believe there's something else going on.
Well, he has been talking like this for a while. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it. I happen to think Ryan's a pretty respect. You know, of all the Republicans who might run for office, he'd certainly be one of the easiest to digest,
right,
in terms of a view of him. He and quite frankly, Romney, both of them seem to have a reasonable approach to things and are both capable of bipartisan conduct.
Well, the difference to me is Romney's still involved in political office, hasn't left, hasn't gone anywhere. And so it's the reason that I you know, just seeing Ryan out there saying the things that he's saying since he's been so basically silent on it is what kind of led me to even look at this. And maybe I'm reading more into it than I should, but I don't know. I just think.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, when Ryan was running for vice president, lots of people had a very negative view of this guy who was a follower of Ayn Rand to the point of saying that she was the writer that was the most responsible for his
success.
His thought processes about government, and that was kind of a scary thing. But you know, now he looks like an entirely reasonable sort of guy. And in the rearview mirror, it's interesting how because the party, the Republican Party, has moved so far, we can look backwards in time, and while people can decide that George Bush II had a lot of problems with his foreign affairs, you know, he's looked more reasonable. Mitt Romney looks reasonable. All these people look more reasonable in their rearview mirror.
You know, you just pointed out George Bush Jr. And I really thought, you know, yeah, I miss you now, George Bush Jr. Do you miss me yet? Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us would have ever imagined that we would be saying that we missed him. But things were a little easier. I mean, we were in a couple wars, got us involved in a couple wars, but he just was a different kind of person. He was a jovial kind of guy, right? And
I do think ex-presidents, to the extent that they you can see who they really are. So like Jimmy Carter, I think Jimmy Carter did not have a good presidency. He was not viewed as a terribly competent president. He was a one-term president. He probably lost because of the third party the third party run by John Anderson and Pat Lucy. But still, after his term, when he, you know, as an ex-president,
people got to see who he really was.
Yeah, just get to see who he really is.
A good person.
Yeah, really an outstanding human being. Maybe one of the most outstanding human beings.
No question. Ever as a president.
Yeah.
And so I he was one of my favorite presidents. And even though, and the reason was because his humanity. He was in a position, in a job, that really required some ruthless thinking sometimes, and I don't think he had that in him. And as you stated, what he did after his life, people respected him, even though there were so many people who dismissed him during the time he was president. But yeah. Jimmy Carter, as he is today, still a wonderful human being. But here's where I want to go, Sandy. Where is it at? Oh, so the Republican Party and McCarthy and they've set out their plan and what they are going to do and what they want to do and things that they're going to be focusing on. Look, most of it is not going anywhere. It's divided government.
Well, in fact, it's clearly what they're doing in this first phase, at least, is purely symbolic action. None of it's going to go anywhere. The notion of taking the money away from the IRS, symbolic, you know, and it's cheap symbolism, you know, the IRS. What a cheap enemy to develop. And you know, you talked about it in one of your earlier shows, but it's kind of a crazy focus. You know, tax revenues are an important thing to collect. Whether you want the taxes to be lower or higher, you still want to collect them.
Yeah.
And one of the things that distinguishes the United States is that we have very little tax cheating. You know, most countries have a great deal of trouble collecting taxes from everyone. We have a very effective tax collection system. And to the extent that we need individuals to do audits, audits are not. Audits by human beings, by human staff, are typically for wealthier, more complicated tax returns. If you and I were to screw around with our tax returns, a computer would catch us.
Like Donald Trump did with his. And like not only him, but just a tax code that is skewed and allows that.
Well, a tax code is complicated. People hire tax accountants. That some of them urge their tax accountants to take aggressive positions, meaning test the edge of the envelope. They don't go all the way to tax fraud. They're just testing whether they can interpret it as narrowly as possible in terms of the taxes they owe. Those are the kind of things that result in audits. Audits don't necessarily end up with fraud penalties. They just end up with late payment penalties because of the fact that you interpreted the tax laws in a way that were too favorable to you. And that's what audits usually are about.
So when you look at the debt that we owe, our national debt, I forgot which president, I know it was a Republican, cut back on tax collectors. I don't know what you call them. The 93,000 people they're going to bring in.
Yeah.
What president was it that cut back?
Well, Trump's period cut back on funding for the IRS.
And I think somebody else did too. They cut back agents a while back, you know, and part of this is kind of led to our deficits.
Well,
you don't think so?
Well, yeah.
I mean, not being able to collect it.
Theoretically, for instance, the analysis by some office that analyzes the fiscal impact of bills suggests that if they roll back this money for the IRS right now, that's like $83 billion or whatever the amount is, that they will lose in tax collections $115 billion over a period of time because of their inability to follow up on taxes. It's an interesting number. My suspicion is that it's, to the extent that auditing really is effective, the number could be far larger because, as I said, the United States is very good at collecting taxes. Most countries are not. You go to Italy and a whole bunch of countries, tax evasion is the norm. And they have not been good at being able to get people to just willingly pay the taxes they owe. Everyone says, okay, catch me if you can. And if we develop an IRS which is not capable of chasing after people, American taxpayers will develop that same catch me if you can philosophy about paying taxes, and revenues could drop way off.
Well, you know, Sandy, the average everyday Joe, he doesn't have, you know, it's not a whole lot he can hide.
Well, first of all, taxes are withheld.
Right.
And so people who are on salaries basically pay their taxes every paycheck
right.
over a period of time. And now they could increase their withholdings against their paycheck so that they'd end up possibly owing some money at the end of the year. Yeah,
but not insurmountable amounts of money.
And not a very big amount of money.
Right.
And so, yeah, Tom, Dick, and Mary pay their taxes at work. And they pay it every month. So this whole notion that... And so, you know, the Republicans are saying, well, we're going to cut back on these guys because all they want to do is audit small businesses.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work.
Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy today with a high of 31. Northerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around a 19. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 35. Temps well above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. Chance for scattered showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
It's 844-967-2789. Texas, that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, I'm trying to understand the Republican Party has decided these are things we're going to move on. These are things that we want to see changed. And so you and I were talking.
Is always in a position to use the legislation they introduce as political theater to just demonstrate what it is they'd like to do. They can throw red meat to their followers. I mean, you know, the progressive movement has for a long time proposed legislation that they knew had no chance of passing. Not that it wouldn't be meritorious legislation to pass, but they knew that it didn't have a chance of passing, and they were really just basically demonstrating to the people who are following them what it is they would like to pass. And I guess that's the same thing the Republicans are doing, is they're throwing meat to the people who follow them. But some of it is just so directly anti-government. I mean, the Republican Party has developed it's not like it's the party of businessmen who want to limit government but would propose that the government that remains conduct itself in a very efficient and competent manner. No, the Republicans seem to be against competent government. They seem to be wanting to strip government of its capacity to operate competently, even in the areas where everyone would agree that the government ought to operate.
So they want to...
So they're like the IRS. The IRS is definitely something that both parties would agree ought to operate competently so that taxes can be collected, because it's necessary. And there's plenty of lessons around the world about how it is that if taxes are not collected in a manner that cause everyone to believe that they'll just generally have to pay them, they don't get paid.
So for instance, $130 billion is what the House Republicans are saying they want to cut out of the present budget. There's no chance that they're going to be able to cut $130 billion out of a budget that's already been passed. And inside of that budget, they clearly are stating we're not going to touch defense spending, but everything else is on the table. And so maybe that makes some people feel good, but the truth of the matter is none of that is even possible.
Well, it's, like I said, political theater. It's simply a way for them to talk about the issues that are the core issues that they would run on in the next election, that they can talk about in the next election. It's not functional. It's dysfunctional. But political theater has always been around. And, the problem is that when you've got paralysis, then everything that people talk about with respect to the laws they want to pass really amount to nothing more than political theater.
You know, and so, again, when you hear that being said, the other side of the equation, the media on the progressive side is going to jump on that as if it's possible that this is going to happen. Let's bring Dave from MEC1 on. Good morning, Dave. What do you say? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Merrill. Good morning, Sandy. Really quickly, we just saw what happened just a few days ago with the Department of Transportation, where every single airline was canceled or stopped because of a computer shutdown with the FAA. There's 58,000 employees that work at a federal level in the Department of Transportation. Okay? Pete Buttigieg was gone for almost 6 months on paternity leave. So my point is, and their budget for that department is roughly around $24 billion. And the reason why the computers shut down is it's not adequately up to date. And we're spending literally trillions of dollars and who knows what. And our infrastructure in this case, you know, with the FAA, is so inadequate that I wouldn't be surprised if this happens again, just because it's very outdated. We still have computers that we're using in other departments from the 1950s.
So Dave, in fact, you know, you've hit right on the point I was making, that the competence of government in the last 25 years or 50 years, probably, the ability of our government to do what it is intended to do. For instance, FEMA. FEMA has demonstrated repeatedly that it has developed incompetence in terms of the way it can deliver its very important service, and that was demonstrated under Bush. People wanted to blame the Bush administration for it, and of course the current administration has somewhat to blame, but this erosion of competence has happened over decades, and it's been an assault on government, and you would think that. Yes, I can understand the argument over how much government we should have, but I don't understand the assault on whether the government that we all agree we should have should operate competently. And, for instance, the FAA is clearly an element of government that everyone agrees we must have, and this failure was clearly the result of a failure to maintain and a failure to improve and to continue with on the learning curve of how to present the most competent sort of FAA service that is running one of the most critical channels of transportation we have, our airlines.
Well, Joe Biden created. Hang on a second, Dave. Joe Biden created the infrastructure bill, and there was pushback against that because he realized and admitted that we need to do something, and yet the things you're talking about, Sandy, there were people who were still opposed to it.
Well, I mean, included in the infrastructure bill was a broad range of things that I would agree with. For instance, child daycare was viewed as infrastructure, and there were those who opposed that for what I would say are ill-conceived reasons. But I just think that attacking the competence of and making it less possible to deliver good business, good government service is simply bad policy.
Hey, Dave, you can hang on or call back. We've got to go to a break, and we'll come back to it on the other side. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
been hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.